Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat. I'm Lisa, and joining me today, I've got Sharpie, Chris, Lauren, and Steve. Got the whole gang. Welcome.
Hey.
Hello.
Lisa. Hey, Chris.
Hello.
Chris and Chris and Lauren.
All right. On today's show, we're going to be talking about Universal Studios Orlando. Kind of, we've got a little neighbor of Disney, so we're going to stick with Central Florida and talk about Universal today.
Which was awesome.
Yeah, it was. Actually, we've got Steve, Chris, and Lauren that all went, and Sharpie, you didn't go, but your wife, Jessie, did.
She did indeed.
She did, and so hopefully you'll be able to contribute something. And let's talk about this. Today I want to talk about the parks and Halloween Horror Nights is a special nighttime event over there. And another add-on, if you will, nighttime entertainment is Blue Man Group. So we'll talk about those things. And then maybe on another show, we will talk about food and resorts. I think the entire visit that we had, it was, were we there, 4 days?
Yeah, so we did everything.
Fabulous.
Yeah, so we'll break it up maybe into different sections or different shows. But yeah, we were there for 4 days. Top of the line resort, just an overall thing is, you know, top of the line resort, got to eat at a lot of different restaurants, got to see all the new Harry Potter stuff.
Which was amazing.
Yeah. So we'll have to get into that later. But then we want to talk about Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah, we do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's start with the parks in general. The way Universal Studios is set up, there are two parks. There's Universal Studios theme park. And then there's, I almost called it California Adventure.
You know what? It kind of feels like that.
It does. It's very similar. Then they have Islands of Adventure. So they are literally a stone's throw away, the two entrances. They are very similar in distance, just like Disneyland Park and California Adventure. You do need a park-to-park pass if you wanted to go to both parks in one day, or you can get just a single-day pass for the park.
Yeah. And then Halloween Horror Nights is a separate nighttime ticketed event.
Yeah, it's the scary version of Disney's Not So Scary Halloween Party, and it's definitely many steps above that.
Yeah, there's no kids in strollers.
No. No, I was shocked to see 9-year-olds. Saw maybe one or two, and everyone else is.
Did you see dead people?
We saw a lot.
Lots of dead people.
So first off, like no one in our group was even going to go.
I guess we're jumping straight into Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah.
Let's get it over with.
So,
all right.
First off, a lot of people weren't even going to go, and Chris Wood didn't go.
No.
She bailed.
But
I had a headache, and I had heard nothing but bad stuff about.
So they've got scare zones, and these are just sections of the park, walkways, streets, where they've got the employees, what are they called? The team members dressed up, and they aren't allowed to touch you, which is a good thing.
Uh-huh.
And so they come running out at you, and they like get in your face and kind of, and some have the chainsaws and different weapons that they have in their hands, and they follow you and they get real close, and some are real good at invading your personal space without actually touching you.
That was probably scarier than the haunted houses, because nobody wanted to do the haunted houses because they were too scared to do. But the scare zones, I think, were because you're not like in the haunted houses, you're like back to back people walking through the haunted houses.
Yeah, I didn't do the haunted houses.
Yeah, but see, the haunted houses were less scary because, I mean, the haunted houses had a lot more stuff going on, but you're like 2 inches from the person in front of you. So versus the scare zone, you could be quite a ways away from, unless you're in the group, and people can come up to you a lot more personally. And
I agree that the scare zones were scarier than the haunted houses.
But the haunted houses were definitely very well done.
Sure, they were. Go ahead, Lauren.
I have to be honest. I have no tolerance for scary things. I can't even watch scary movies. And I would never in a million years have done that if it wasn't in the situation we were in.
Yeah.
I did not find the scare zones scary because I knew they couldn't touch me.
Yeah. So it's a little
as soon
more
as
fun.
I knew that, and as soon as they came up to me, and they, because they would get right in your face and then they'd walk away. And it was very quick. And the fact that I could leave that section of the park and not be scared worked for me.
Yeah.
I would have never, I couldn't do the haunted houses because I have, like I said, I just have zero tolerance for the scary.
No, but you could
I think
have.
If you would
have
done one, what the thing was is like nobody wanted to do them. And then after the group that we were with did one, they were like, okay, I get it. Let's do them. Once you got through one, you were like, okay, I understand how it works. It was like the scare zones. Like once you did the first one, you're like, okay.
When you know what to expect.
Yeah, because then you're like, okay, I get how this does, how it's done. If you went through those haunted houses by yourself, yeah, it would be ridiculously scary. But when you're like 2 inches from
you're in
the,
a caterpillar chain.
Yeah, you're like just being like shuttled through like one. It's so it's
so
not
predictable.
As, yeah, so it's a little more. And they do, they're very good at like if you see the guy jump out at the guy, two people in front of you, that guy doesn't jump out at you. He waits until someone else in the line. So
well,
they might have like
they alternate
three.
Left and right.
Yeah, so they might have two or three people in the room hidden. So if you saw someone come out in front of you, then the next person for you might come out to your right or left or behind you or not at all or whatever. So.
Yeah.
It's not like, okay, that guy's going to jump out at me because I just saw him come
but
out.
But then you catch on to that too. And yeah. So you're constantly aware. And the whole, for me, the fact that I knew they couldn't touch me, like Lauren was saying, that calmed me down. The fact that you could see where they were jumping out from, if you were paying attention, if you were on the ball and concentrating and not getting lost in the moment, it dulled it down a bunch. But I can completely see if, Lauren, if you and the group stayed with us, it would have been a lot more fun because we'd all be jumping and screaming and, you know, crawling on each other. But we were just literally marching in a line one after another and people would jump out and noise and strobe lights and you got used to it and you got trained and then you became immune. We went through 6 of the 8 houses. And after a while, it's just like, okay, done with that one.
Yeah, it was so more you got to see the houses versus getting scared. It was like, okay, this is cool. I like how they did this. I mean, there were some parts of the houses where you're walking through like a ton of mannequins and you can't tell, you know, and they're just like all around and it's a giant room. So you're not like walking through hallways and you can't tell which mannequins are real and which ones are the people, and you're like, oh, I gotta walk through this whole thing of these people.
Yeah, who's gonna jump?
I have
to
say, I thought it was done well, though. I didn't feel like it was like a drunk fest.
No drunk people.
I didn't feel like it was really done inappropriately. I thought it was done well. I do think that you definitely want kids that are a little older, like 16 and up. I don't think I would want to bring anybody under the age of 16, though. I know the age range is 13, but that's got to be a really tough kid.
Yeah, you gotta have kids that...
I'm thinking 13, 14 is fine.
Depends on your kid.
Yeah. It does. It depends on the kid. It completely does. Because, we brought Chris Wood, and she's, 58?
Yeah, exactly. And I wasn't into it.
So, but
it was good.
It was, it was a lot better than I thought it would be.
It's not at all to say that it wasn't done well. I just got in the frame of mind to not be scared, to see it for what it was instead of immersing myself in it. So I kind of spoiled it for myself, but it was the only way I could get through it.
Of course, we were a little spoiled anyway.
Of course.
The RIP tour.
Well, having the RIP tour was awesome. We were told that the waits can be anywhere from 1 to 4 hours. Is that what they said?
Yeah, for a haunted house.
The big haunted houses were up to a 4-hour wait, and with an RIP tour or VIP tour, the guide walks you literally to the front of the line and you wait maybe a minute for a clean break in the line and they let you in.
Yeah.
There you go.
And they take you from haunted house to haunted house to haunted house. And they give you like the backstory and they tell you about the different things. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. And I think that ends up, it's like a, do you remember the pricing on the RIP?
It was something pretty high.
I want to say it was like $117 a person on top of your event ticket price.
Which is a $100 ticket.
Right.
So you're talking about $200 a person, roughly.
But if you go without the RIP, for your $100 a ticket, you're going to see maybe two houses.
Yeah.
You know, depending on how you play it, three, it depends on which ones you get in line for. But this way, we were only there for a short time, and we saw six of the houses, three of the streets, and then the Purge area. And
yeah, we saw scare zones and six of the eight houses.
Yeah.
The best house was that. Go ahead.
And we saw that show, that stupid show.
Bill and Ted.
That show. Oh, my God. That was so... I mean, the dancers were phenomenal.
Yeah.
But that show was horrible.
It was a little distasteful, but I think it's supposed to be. It was a little off color for me, but I'm a...
I think that show, if you were 20 to 25 years old, which is the age group that it's aimed for, then it's perfect because everybody in there was crammed, and that was the age group. And then
I was going to say half naked, but go ahead.
Yeah, I mean everybody in the the seating was packed and sold out, and we had a little VIP section or RIP section with 40-year-old plus.
And travel agents.
And then the rest of it was like college kids. So for the college kids, they picked up on the pop culture and the humor and the latest singers and
the references.
Yeah, they knew all the movies and everything. And everybody else was like, I don't get any of this.
Or we're laughing like, oh, really, that's
sad.
Because, but if that's the age group that goes to the, so they know their audience. I mean, that was the age group that goes to Halloween Horror Nights.
It just seems like, yeah, it doesn't seem like the 35 plus, it doesn't seem like the entire event is really cut out for them. It's your college age to early 30s. No kids coming.
But the event was really well done. Like Lauren said, there were, I thought it was going to be a lot of drunk people. I saw maybe one person that looked like they maybe had a little too much to drink, but everybody else was, I mean, there was like no, I mean, there's more drunk people at Epcot at Food and Wine.
I just didn't see any point in going because I can guarantee you that none of my clients would have wanted to go. None of my it's not a thing for my clients.
No, it's not.
I have a hard enough time convincing people that Universal actually has something to offer them, much less saying, oh, and by the way, you should go to Halloween Horror Night.
For us, it's odd because it's more of a local thing. It's more of a 20s. Yeah. It's not someone who's staying at Royal Pacific at $450 a night.
And bringing the kids over.
And going, hey, let's go to Halloween Horror Nights.
And people shouldn't think it's like Mickey's Not So Scary, which is not scary.
Yeah, it's not.
And sweet. It's adorable. It's just,
do you think it really is more for locals?
I think so.
They say that they sell those hotels out.
Every single hotel room.
All those hotels. So
on the weekends, they say
on the weekends
sold them
they
out,
sell
but
them
not
out.
During
so
the
it could
week.
Be local.
So
and it was dead
or weekend trips,
literally.
Yeah, the parks were dead on during the week.
Yeah,
I think it's probably, you know, you can imagine someone being in Tampa or something and coming over for the weekend and having a good time. I think I would have loved it at 25. I would have been totally into it.
It would have been fun to take you through, though, I have to say.
Some of them, even when you know they're going to jump at you, still scared me.
I did look back at Steve.
There were
he
a couple times where
first.
I was like, oh, they would just like, oh, they would get me again and again and again. Because they come out, I mean, they come out like inches from you, and their hand is like...
They're good.
They like jump out of a cage, and they are grabbing at your face, and they are just... They can't get any closer.
That's not scary to me. It's boring and stupid. I would not.
Oh, you
would have
been.
No, I can guarantee it. I wouldn't have been scared. I would have been like, ugh.
And what is it? The Walking Dead or whatever?
Yeah.
Which is their longest haunted house they'd ever done.
Yeah.
That was the best one. That was like so grotesque. And it was pretty awesome. It was just so well done. The one with all the creepy dolls, I didn't think was creepy.
The dollhouse.
Yeah, that was the one that they said was the one that everybody hated because it was super creepy.
It wasn't as creepy as I thought. But I thought walking, I'm going to not sleep well for the next 2 years, but
walking,
I was fine.
The Walking Dead one. And then the Halloween with Jason.
Mm-hmm.
There was like an actual like Jason mannequin outside after you got out of the haunted house, like just standing in the back of the tent that wasn't really a mannequin. And then every once in a while he would scare the crap out of people. So that was pretty funny. Because that's the best part, because you get out of the house and you think it's over, and there's like some just props laying around, and then one of them is like a guy in a Jason mask. Ugh. And those people,
a couple people got you.
Yeah, there was some.
It was funny because he did make me go first through all of these.
Yeah.
And I would turn back and
the worst part is if the line gets away from you and you're like, holy crap, I'm all by myself. Where's that person? You're like running to catch up because you're like, I do not want to go through this by myself.
You're funny. He was, yeah, he was interesting.
It was fun because once you get over, because there wasn't a single person in our group who wanted to go. But once you get through the first one, you're like, okay, these are going to be
fun. Well, we ended up with three people. It was you, me, and Kristen.
Yeah.
That was it.
Then the other thing that was kind of neat, but kind of like a waste of time, was they took us into Men in Black, and they took us into like the set. So
that
we're
was
like
just a break.
Oh, but we got such a great picture of you there, Steve.
I know. So we're so we're.
I'm gonna
actually
have to post that one on
yeah,
Mousecat.
So we're. Actually,
I think Chris already did.
It's already there.
Yeah. Oh, I
it's
love
it's already
Chris.
There, but you know
she got,
what?
She not, got the balls rolling on that one.
You know what? Not everyone is getting that picture, which is really disappointing.
I don't
to
understand.
Me.
Yeah. So it's the Men in Black in the movie.
Did you look at it, Chris?
Yeah, it's awesome. Ridiculous.
And the funny I'm thing sorry. Was is it was Lauren. Lauren's usually the ladylike nice one who never you never come up with anything off color.
Well, so it's the Men in Black office from the
that,
movie.
Sure, that's what it is, Steve.
And they have all the furniture, and it's actually part of the ride.
That's fantastic. That's going on my refrigerator.
So everybody's like walking in the queue, and they look down, and we're in the actual
Steve
ride set.
In the chair
and I'm sitting in the chair of in this weird chair that's in the movie. I was like, get a picture of me in this chair, which doesn't.
You're weird.
Anyways,
any, so
yeah.
Weird.
But we're like down there with the audio animatronics, and they've got a bar set up down there. It was
you
kind
pointed
of
that out to me the next day, and it did not look like a weird chair. I think it was just the angle Lauren got. Or
it was like a
yeah, from
weird
above, it doesn't look weird.
Anyways, yeah. But yes, but so that was fun to do that as well. But the whole night, you know, and then it goes late into the morning hours, and we left there maybe around midnight, 1 a.m.
The best part about that picture is that I didn't even realize that I had that picture until today. When I, was
I showed it to my husband, and my husband got it right away. Now, if Kevin got it, y'all just go back to, like, what's the day today? October 8th on the Mousechat page. Go look at those pictures, and then
on
go
our,
ahead
yeah,
and have a good
the,
laugh.
It's
at Steve's expense.
Facebook.
And there are many pictures because it's his birthday, and we've been celebrating all day.
Yeah, there's a lot of Facebook.
Posting too. Handsome pictures of Steve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yes. So I thought it was definitely not what I expected, and it was, and I'm glad we went because before we got there, we all said we're not going, and then we all ended up.
I'm glad I went.
When we talked, you told me it was.
Yeah,
crap.
I'm glad I went.
It was really well done.
It was well done.
It's well done for the people that are in that age group that want to go see.
It was
that.
Loud.
I don't know if it was loud.
Oh, I remember going down the purge
I don't
place.
Remember.
Is that screaming loud or loud music?
Loud.
Oh, well, that was loud.
Sirens and loudness.
Well, that's part of the movie or whatever.
I'm so glad I stayed back in the room with my throbbing migraine.
Mm.
Yeah, well, with a migraine, it would have not been good.
No.
But yeah, so that was good.
All right, well, we can talk about the parks in general.
Harry Potter.
You want to, oh.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about Harry Potter.
All right, so can I just say something? Okay.
I don't think we can stop you.
I don't. Okay, so I have been saying this over and over and over again since we did it. It's very hard, even though I'm a pass holder, it's very hard for me to get over to Universal because I love Disney. But after seeing Diagon Alley, I think the theming in Diagon Alley is the standard by which every stinking theme park should judge themselves by now. I think it was fantastic. And Gringotts,
yeah,
I
they
think
did
is,
a great job.
Gringotts is the best ride I've ever been on. So, honest to God. And I didn't want to go on it, of course.
Well, so the story behind Chris Wood is she went just for a couple hours, maybe a couple weeks ago before we even got there.
Yeah, I went over and got a butter beer.
And she didn't even know.
I love those.
She went in the park.
Oh, my God.
She went in the park and she didn't even realize Diagon Alley was there.
I did not because it's so well hidden.
So she didn't even go
it really
in
is.
It. And then she was like, oh, you have to go through the wall.
So here's the deal. For people who haven't been, you know, there's Islands of Adventure and there's Universal. And at Islands of Adventure, they had Hogsmeade, which is, of course, you know, the original
Castle.
Harry Potter thing with Hogwarts Castle and the
Three Broomsticks Restaurant.
Yes, and all of that.
Forbidden
it's,
Journey.
It's extremely well done. The theming is fantastic.
Yes.
But now you can take a train. You need a two-park ticket, of course, which is brilliant.
Yes.
Good British word there.
I know, right? I have all been. I need to start watching Harry Potter again. Anyway.
You can watch it with Amber. She'll watch the whole series with you.
Okay. I might get one of those robes, to be honest. Anyway.
$110.
All right, let's
anyway. Okay, so anyway, so you go and you get on the little train, and that is fantastic. We should not spoil what happens on the train, but you will love the train.
Well, there's nothing to spoil. Did you ever hear of the internet?
No, don't tell people. It's wonderful, because I got on it and I didn't know, because okay. That's what I did the first time. I went over there. I said, can I get a butterbeer? And they're like, no, we don't have it on this side. So I got on the train and I went over to Hogsmeade and got a butterbeer. Steve's right. I saw nothing. And I was like, where are all these? I saw these pictures of Diagon Alley and I thought, where the heck is it? So we go back in, and we're incredibly fortunate. We had this wonderful VIP tour guide for the day that we got to tour the parks, because we were there for an agent training thing. And she showed us that you go through this little, it's like you wouldn't even know.
It's just like
in
the movies. It's between the record store and what, the bookstore, I think?
Something like that. Yes. And so you go
in.
And
you don't know it's there at all.
And then you go in and it's like there's all these muted colors like green and orange and purple and gold and things you wouldn't even expect. It's extremely vivid. You look to the end and there's a dragon on top of Gringotts Bank. It's amazing. It is incredible.
The whole thing. And I love how cattywampus the buildings are.
A little bit, yeah. It does. It's so fantastic.
It takes you to Diagon Alley.
Yeah.
Yes.
You are there.
And it's amazing. And there's like all these alleys. Like you can go down these dark corridors and alleys and shops, and it like goes, so you can get lost in the whole place.
And you know what Hogsmeade is missing? What Hogsmeade is missing is you're not completely immersed in it. You could be standing in Hogsmeade and look over and see parts of Islands of Adventure that have, you know, that kind of ruins the theming, but you don't get that at Diagon Alley, because in Diagon Alley, you're totally
immersed.
You're totally immersed. You can't look one place and see the theming from another thing kind of coming in there. It's just all there. So it was wonderful.
We ended up getting lost a lot. The four of us were in there, and Lauren and I are like, okay, they're lost. Here we are. It's big. It's wonderful. It is simply wonderful. The shops.
Well, the shops have cool stuff.
Everything.
Yeah. Jessie loved her.
Well, she got the wand.
The wand ceremony. Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
She was cute.
Yeah. She said it was awesome.
She was. She really got into it. Like when I realized they were going to, because if you've been to Hogsmeade, you know that there's one room. Well, over in Diagon Alley, they've set it up so that there's actually three rooms. So you really can't tell. It's kind of like when you go visit Mickey in the Magic Kingdom. Oops, did I say that? Anyway, but when you go to Diagon Alley, there's three rooms where you can go in to choose your wand. So it's less of a wait. And then you go in there and there's like 10 people, and the lady will pick some, or the guy, will pick someone to get the wand. And I'm like, oh, please God, don't let it be me, because I'm not going to play along. And thank God they picked your wife, because she was really good at it.
Oh, she mm-hmm. loved it.
Yeah. Chris, did you see the video? Did it come through okay?
Would you put a little
video? Yeah. Okay. It was awesome.
All
right. It was really
She
cool.
had so much fun. Like
she was so giddy.
They
she
do
was.
The whole little skit, and then at the end you can buy the wand. And the other cool thing with the wands, of course, now, and the, oh god, you go into the wand shop, and it's like the wand shop in the store.
Or Lauren, tell us about the new wands.
Yeah.
Oh, the new wands—they're really expensive, though. The new wands you can are interactive in Diagon Alley. You can actually like make things happen, like. It's just cool. There's like all different hidden spots all over the place.
Yeah, it's kind of like Sorcerers in the Kingdom, where you have different interactive windows and places to go, and you do that with your wand.
Yeah, so you can cast
spells.
You can cast spells and
make things dance or do things.
And you have to like move the wand in a certain way.
You have to
actually say the spell to get it to work. So it's not,
it's genius.
Yeah. And so people are like practicing, because you have to do it. You have to be pretty precise to get it to work.
And people were doing it all over the place. We saw lots of people.
And I think
doing
the interactive wands start at $100.
Yeah,
they go from $100 to $150, and then the regular wands are about $40 or $50. Yeah.
So, yeah, they're expensive.
But the theming is like Chris was saying, is amazing.
It is. I think there's, I hate to say it, like, there's nothing like it at Disney. Like, when New Fantasyland expansion opened up, I was thrilled with it. I thought it was wonderful. But then you go into Diagon Alley and you're like, yeah, that's pretty budget. I mean, don't get me wrong. The day, like, at one point, I actually snuck over to the Magic Kingdom. And I was like, yeah, this is home. This is, like, it. But I have to say, I was sort of, I was really blown away by what I saw.
And there's,
there.
Like, so many little details that you would never notice. Like, the guy pointed out, like, there's a, in the dark alley, what's the dark part in Harry Potter where you go back and all the bad magic places are back in there when you walk in? We were in Diagon Alley, then we went in.
I know what you're saying, but I don't remember.
Well, anyways, there's like a dark hidden area that you walk through that's even more devious.
Oh, yeah. That is really spooky back there, and it's extremely dark and very effective.
Yeah,
like,
so you walk
oh, that's where
that,
they had that image on the wall.
Yeah,
with
so there's like an advertisement on the wall, and if you, which you would never even look at, but if you look at it long enough, it like all of a sudden catches on fire.
Yeah.
And then it regenerates. So there's all kinds of like cool hidden things that, if you spent time in there, that you could find.
It turns,
I'm sure we didn't see the half of it.
Yeah.
It's definitely,
yeah.
What do you think? Gone from going maybe 2 days to 3 days to see everything, I think.
Well, easily. And I think that depends on the time of year, because I honestly think going this time of year, you know, we had that VIP access for everything,
but the
wait times
short.
Weren't that bad. Mm-hmm. I think Gringotts was 30 minutes. It wasn't bad.
And that ride is ridiculous. It's so unbelievable. I mean, just when you walk in, the size of everything.
I can't wait to do that again in a week.
The chandeliers are massive. They have done the pre-shows above and beyond what Disney does with pre-shows.
Yep. It's like,
well, the game is on.
The train station, you pull in, it's like a full-size
train. Going through the brick wall.
It's like a full-size train
station.
Yeah,
the brick wall was cool, too.
Where you walk, the platform 9 3/4 or whatever it is, you actually can see
Very
the
good,
people
Steve.
Walking through the, running to walk, to go through the wall. It's amazing.
I think that if I had to describe that ride to someone, because I was, you know, I don't like roller coasters. I was super scared. I had to sit between Lauren and Steve and hold their hands. And I did that for like 3/4 of the ride. And then I was like, yeah, I'm good. I can let go now. But, you know, it's almost like the same kind of track like Dinosaur, but there's no comparison because it's very smooth. There's a drop and it's fast and there's little turns and the vehicle turns around. But then all the comparisons end because then you have this amazing 3D kind of screen, right?
Yeah, it's like a giant IMAX that takes up the entire view.
Oh, it's great.
So you're fully immersed, and then you go from real shots to screen to real shots.
Do it again.
And then it's roller coaster / movie all mixed into one. Yeah. And it's not extreme enough that you're like, oh my God, I can't.
Did it make you nauseated or
no,
anything?
No, that was great. The only one that makes me nauseated is the other one. At, Hidden, what is it?
Forbidden Journey.
Yeah. Even after taking motion sickness, like the last minute, I'm like.
That one did something to me. Natalie said the same thing. We went on it and we're like it messed with my head.
It's too much backwards and you're on a robotic arm and it just throws you backwards too much.
I'm glad I didn't do it.
And then you start to get hot and sweaty and I like it, but it's just too much and the screens are too close. The what's the other one? Gringotts Bank, I love.
Yeah,
it was
fantastic.
Perfect.
I think it's got everything a ride needs.
Yeah.
It was just really perfect. And it was just scary enough that it was like, it was definitely a thrill ride for me, especially.
Yeah, and I got my stair workout in.
Your stair workout?
Yeah, there must have been like 500 stairs that you go up and down.
Oh, yeah.
And over
but is
and
that
down.
For us because we did that back?
I think that's for
everybody. Yeah, it was because of that.
Were you getting
thing.
Some odd stairs, Steve?
You get some, yes.
Sure, right?
And there's the old hydrolators.
He's used to that.
They got the hydrolators in there
from
the Living Seas. There's this amazing effect. So you do this pre-show, and then you get in this elevator to go down to the vault, and it's this giant elevator. But instead of just, but it actually feels like you're going down. You see stuff going by on the sides and the...
Wait a minute. We weren't going anywhere?
No, it just sits there.
Seriously, I was freaking out at that point, so...
You were like, gosh, how far down are we going to go?
Like, my ears are bursting.
As I have shown, I'm able to immerse myself completely in a ride, so...
You walk in and you walk out the other door, but that was a really good effect.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah,
that you know, again, I love Disney. Nothing will ever take the place of Disney, but I say go over there, check it out.
I mean, but everything in there was so nice. The stores were cool. The three or the cauldron.
Leaky Cauldron was really good.
Oh my God, can we talk about the menu there?
Yeah, it was good.
I had that grilled chicken sandwich, which rocked. I actually want to go back there just for that. It was so good.
It was good. I had that too.
You had that, and then Steve and I had the fish and chips, and that was really good too.
Yeah.
Go ahead and skip that
apple butter thing.
No, wait a minute. We're not supposed to be talking about food. That's the next show.
It's hard not to talk about it, though.
No, we're talking about parks and Harry Potter.
But that had really
good. We're talking about Harry Potter food, though.
Can we talk about butterbeer?
No. You're crossing the line. No.
No butterbeer, because that's the best thing ever.
Butterbeer rocks. That's my favorite beverage.
Chris Sharps, you haven't been there yet?
No. The last time we were at Universal was 2009.
We need to get you over there. It's fantastic. Yeah.
You should go with us on Monday,
Jessie,
Sharpie.
What did Jessie say? Did she get into the Harry Potter stuff and see it? Because she was so
Yeah. She loved it.
Yeah, she was there for that.
Loved it.
She was there that day, yeah. She got sick right after that.
Okay.
So, yeah, your wife was sick, of course, like that one day. So
I think she always gets sick after flying.
I do too.
I think it's the air issue on airplanes.
Yeah,
I do too.
Just my suspicion, but
yeah,
it was very well done.
It really was.
And there were so many cool things that I didn't buy.
Yeah.
Yes.
I know.
Oh, the stuff you could buy.
Well, and we did get an awesome picture of you dressed up like Harry Potter.
Yeah,
it was pretty funny.
Again,
if you're a fan,
see the website.
I mean, I can see how fans of the movie. I mean, they can spend a ton of money. There is so much stuff. More than a plush and a hoodie, you know, like at a normal park. There are robes, and then there's like all the different Slytherin and I don't know what all the different groups are in the
Slytherin, Hufflepuff.
Yeah, so all of those
Ravenclaw,
different sororities or whatever they are in the
Gryffindor.
Yeah, all the different parts of the school have their own robes, their own books, their own stationery, their own, you know, royal stamp. They
royal
have
stamp.
You know, that like your ring that you put, you melt the wax on to seal the letter. They have like, you know, they have the quill feathers to write letters. They have everything from just t-shirts to, and then they have like all the stuff that you would find. Oh, like
the
little
joke shop.
Like the yeah, they have the oh they
that
the,
was fun.
They have the joke shop with the whoopee cushions and the chattering.
I got a huge
teeth.
One for my son. They were playing with that today, Steve.
There you go.
You said that was such a lame gift.
That's a
they
great gift
it.
For a 10 or 12 year old boy. A whoopee
cushions. Whoopee cushions are real gas.
Yes, but they have like they even have the but then they have the higher end collectibles if you're a real Harry Potter fan.
Yeah.
So you can get like all the stuff in Dumbledore's office, like all that. Ridiculous stuff made out of brass that has I don't know. Anyways,
so would you say if someone has never seen the movies they would still enjoy it? Because I've only seen the first one and
you enjoyed
I really
it?
Liked it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you can enjoy it without knowing a single thing about the movie. That's what Natalie didn't know anything about it.
That's
and
cool.
She was still just completely in awe.
Yeah, the theming is awesome. And there's a covered area, too, because it was raining, so that was nice, too.
Because it's like a little outdoor market. It's cute. That's where they sell the butter beer.
And they had like all kinds of other stuff, too, to drink.
They have, like, potion slushies.
They have all kinds of...
Oh, yeah.
That was cool.
They have all kinds of drinks that look really good. The pumpkin juice was good.
Yeah, slushies. I'd be on board.
They have, like, make-your-own potion slushie. Anyways.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
We're not talking about...
Go if you can go... If you can get that time away from Disney parks, the only problem is, and this is the issue, is that if you're on a 5-day base ticket, you're spending what? $300. If you want to add a 6-day, you're maybe spending $315. But if you want to spend 5 days at Disney and then go over to Universal, you're out $140 because you have to get that 2-park ticket. So that's why people don't go.
Yeah, you have to add it. You have to add it as another stay.
They're two
after.
Different trips. I really do believe that.
Well, I think you can combine them. A lot of people do, or they sneak over if they can swing it. If they can spend the money, they'll go over for a day or two. I say sneak like it's something bad.
I say stay on property at least one night, if not two, either before or after as a separate trip. Because when you stay on property, you get the express pass, which is almost
you
like $90.
You guys are going off on a tangent.
All right. No. So anyways, we'll talk about that next another time. Show, another show. All right. So let's wrap this one up.
Okay. Are we going to talk about anything else in the park, like the awesome Minion rides or the Simpson ride, which is super awesome?
You know what?
Well, I think that's going to be another show, right?
I think it is. I think we're going to have to do parks. Yeah. Really, we covered Harry Potter and Horror Nights. Yeah. We still have Blue Man Group, parks, food, and resorts. So now Blue Man Group is a nighttime show. It's not cheap. It's probably equivalent to Cirque du Soleil as far as ticketing and you know, the caliber of entertainment. Well, I'd hate to say it, but Cirque is probably a step higher.
Oh, Cirque to me is many steps higher.
Yeah, so it's a nighttime show at Universal Studios. I'm not sure what the ticket pricing is, but I'm assuming it's close to Cirque du Soleil.
Right.
Yeah.
It's got three guys, a couple of backup people, and then four musicians.
Yeah, so Cirque du Soleil is a huge, when you see all the acts and everything, it's a massive production. Versus this is one single straight stage in front of you and seating for 1,000 people or something at a in a regular auditorium.
But they don't say a single word through the whole thing, which is kind of interesting.
Weird.
Yeah.
It was interesting. I don't know. I had never seen it. I had seen pieces of it on TV or heard about it, but
it's not all about banging drums, which is interesting, or those pipes that they turn into percussion instruments. They had lots of segments to do with an iPhone or tablet. They had a comedy skit with someone they pulled from the audience. They did that twice. And
I have to say, if you've seen Blue Man Group anywhere else, you've seen this show. They're identical.
Okay.
Yeah, because didn't you say you saw it on Norwegian Cruise?
I saw it on Norwegian Cruise.
Now,
it was the identical.
Was it as long?
Yeah.
Because, see, to me, it would have been great if it had been like a
1 hour.
Yeah. Because it just went on and on and on. You're like, kind of like, oh, okay.
I actually dozed off.
Did you really?
I did.
But you know what? I have to say, the first time I saw it, I really enjoyed it. But I think it's a one and done show. I don't think it's something you really need to see more than once.
Yeah.
I'm glad
and
I got
you
to
don't
go.
Miss much. Like you would miss something at Cirque because there's something always going around.
Yeah, you can see new things at Cirque.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cirque, there's stuff above you, but around.
They're climbing on the scaffolds.
There's so much going on. And then they occasionally have a new act that they put in, like the bicycle guys or.
Yeah, Cirque has so much going on. I don't think it's really fair to compare because, like you said, there's so
this
many
like
more
three,
people.
Yeah, this is three guys, like she said, like Chris said.
It's entertaining. Literally.
But it does have lulls. Like, it has some really low, boring times.
Yes, where they just keep going. And you know what I hated? I just thought at a certain point, you know, and I think our ears are kind of trained not to want constant percussion. You know, that kind of music to me is just sort of boring after a while, and it was just nothing but percussion. I wanted something to liven it up. And so to me, I really disliked. Dislike is too strong of a word. I wasn't crazy about the music. I think they could have. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, for me, it was when I saw Blue Man Group a long time ago, like on, you know, the advertisements for or whatever, there was nothing like that anywhere. Yeah. So I was like, this is going to be cool. And then since then, I've seen America's Got Talent for years and years and years. And there were so many more shows that are so much more interesting that
different acts.
Yeah, those people do that are so much above and beyond what the Blue Man Group does now.
You know what, though? No one of you could say that you did not. You were not impressed. No, you were not impressed by that whole marshmallow bit.
Oh, the marshmallow bit?
That was impressive.
That grosses me out.
That grossed me out, too.
Don't think about catching them like that was impressive.
No, it was disgusting. It really was. They were, putting stuff in their mouth. And there was, at one point, there was just a very high gross-out factor for me.
There were a couple of gross-out factors at the show, too, where, stuff, comes puking out of their chest. There's a couple weird, I don't know. I mean, it was good.
Do you know what?
It was entertaining to watch once, but I wouldn't do it again.
It bordered on being a tiny bit pretentious, I thought. You know?
And if I had paid $80 or something for that show, I would have been like, ugh.
I agree with Lauren that it's a once and done. I saw it last year, and I saw it again this year, and I don't need to see it again for many years.
Yeah. I can't imagine seeing it again.
And it wasn't that it was bad.
No, it just, it's a once and done.
It's a one and done. You don't need to see it more than once.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And was the show any different from last year?
No. But they just changed it prior to my seeing it the first time.
Right. Yeah.
And they only change it every couple of years, so.
I could live without it.
Yeah. I it's a good show.
I mean, when we've seen Cirque so many times that we don't even want to see that again, but definitely I would.
Yeah, but we've seen that three times. And I would see Cirque again. Kind of in the mood to see it again. I could do it again.
Yeah, but Blue Man is definitely one time.
Cirque is something that you see and you're like you find yourself like clapping, you get all excited and stuff, but this just didn't do it.
Okay, well stop talking about the scarf guy.
Like the guy.
The scarf guy. Everybody liked the scarf guy.
Lauren and I are on the same track here.
A shirtless man, a well muscled shirtless man flying over 20 female travel agents' heads. There were giggles. And Steve was there too.
Yeah.
Did you forget to pack your scarf, Steve?
You should have gone to the Halloween Horror Nights and seen Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Or
whatever. Yeah, you would have seen some shirtless guys there, too.
You would have seen a lot of shirtless guys.
I can see plenty of shirtless guys. Steve's not wearing a shirt right now, is he?
Well, he's just following your suit.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
All right, so I think we need to wrap up the show here. So I'd like to wrap up the show here. If you like our shows, you can go to iTunes or go to mousechat.net to download them. I'd like to thank pixievacations.com for sponsoring our podcast. If you have comments or questions, please go to comments@mousechat.net. Please join us again next time on Mousechat.